Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Hallelujah. Today, like I said, I sent a message earlier. We are starting on a series, a Bible study series, Getting to Know God. Getting to know God. We want to know God more. We want to know God more because that is what Jesus Christ prayed for us before he left for heaven. In John chapter 17, that was his prayer. His prayer was that, I'm sorry, there's somebody whose phone is making some noise. I'm going to have to mute you. If you can mute yourself, it would be fine, please. We are good. In John chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, Jesus Christ said, "This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." This is a scripture I normally quote. I normally quote almost every other service because it's very key that we may know him. We may know him. We get to know him. Of course, you can. He's an infinite God. You can never get to know him through and through. But we need to increase our knowledge of him every other day. We need that word knowledge. The Greek word for that word knowledge is epignosis. Your epignosis has got to be increasing day by day. Hallelujah. Because you see, when we know him, we stand a chance of winning. The Bible says that those who know their God shall be strong. They shall be strong. In other words, he's talking about there will be times when you will need strength. There are times when, you know, you go through troubles like these times that we are in right now. I can guarantee you that people who do not know God are the ones who are teetering on the edges of mental breakdown, of depression. But for us who know the Lord, if you know your God, you will be strong because you will know that, you know, because God lives, because God is for you, you will outlive the situation that is at hand. Those who know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Hallelujah. So we need to have an understanding and a revelation of God so that we can worship him well. You know, Jesus Christ has this discourse with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And he tells them that they worship a God that they do not know. But for us, we are thankful that we worship a God whom we know. You need to know the God that you worship so that you can worship him well. You need to know God that you can trust him so that you can trust him at all times. People who do not trust God are people who do not know him. But if we know him, we stand firm in the face of adversity because we know that God is able. We know that God is able. Is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we ask or think. When we know him, we learn to walk with fear and trembling in awe of him, in obedience to his word. So, as we begin this evening, I just want to pray for people who are going through thick and thin right now before you even go further. You're going through thick and thin and it's like God is not there. You can't see God in the darkness. I just want to pray for you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I lift up your daughter, I lift up your son, I lift up your boy and girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, King of kings, may you come through for them. I am praying this evening that you will reveal yourself to them. Reveal yourself to them in that area where they are being bothered, my God. Let them see you, King of Kings, financially. Let them see you in their health. Let them see you in their families. Let them see you in everything pertaining to their lives in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, I thank you for you hear my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Our God, he is the creator. He is the creator. He is the progenitor of the whole world. He is the creator and the redeemer of the world. He reveals himself in scripture. He reveals himself in nature. He reveals himself in his son, Jesus Christ, who is so loved and worshipped and adored by us as believers. Scripture stresses the person and nature of God, but it also gives us a total reliability and ability to trust on his word. God is the Father of Jesus Christ and of all believers. He is your Father. You need to relate to God as Father. First and foremost, before we go any further, I want us to realize that God is our Father, to acknowledge him as Papa. That's why Jesus Christ, when he was teaching the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Our Father," and he uses "our," that word "our," he uses it intentionally to show that God is for all of us. He is your Father. He is your source and he is your sustainer. You need to know that. Your Father cares. If an earthly father cares for his children, what about a God? Papa cares. Papa is the creator. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." That is our God. Scripture does not give us an explanation where God came from, because it doesn't have it. He is a God without beginning. That is the God that you serve. That's the God that you worship. He is uncreated. He is the only independent being. All the other things depend on him. Because in him, we live, move, and have our being. Everything is dependent on him. Right now, you need to be dependent on him. We are not dependent on the government, because as we have seen lately, the governments have failed. The scientists have failed. Okay, they have come up with some vaccine, which they tell us is 95%, not even 100% yet, but who knows. We depend on God. Psalm 90 says, "From everlasting to everlasting, he is." From everlasting to everlasting, he is eternal. In Exodus chapter 3 to, and 14, he reveals his name. Listen, that word reveal. He reveals. God reveals. He chooses to reveal. Whatever he chooses to reveal to us is what we know. We can never know everything about him. But he reveals his name to Moses as, "I am who I am, Yahweh." Simply put, he is. God is. God is. He is anything and everything that you will call him. Hallelujah. So number one, characteristic number one, today we want to look at, one of the characteristics we want to look at today is that God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. I need you to know that God is all-knowing. He knows everything that you are going through. He knows your pain. He knows everything. He's omniscient. The omniscience of God is that attribute by which he knows all things, the past, the present, and the future. That is him. What is hidden from human sight is still known by God. There's nothing that can be hidden from him. Scripture stresses that the wisdom of God is in all his actions. In all his actions. And that's why we need to embrace that knowledge, that in everything there is wisdom, there's God's wisdom, there's God's wisdom. In everything that happens to us, there's God's wisdom. And God's knowledge is within himself. God's knowledge is within himself. In fact, it is a unique self-knowledge. It is within himself. When I talk about himself, I mean the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the people who know God, who know each other because they are God. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been," this is Jesus Christ saying, "all things have been handed over to me by my Father." All have been handed to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son does what? Chooses to reveal himself. Did you hear that? No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And to anyone, who is you and I, to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. He chooses. Are you not so happy that you have been chosen to be a candidate to receive revelation of God? I am so glad that God is revealing himself to me. I am so glad that God is you are chosen to have that revelation of God. That is an honor that we cannot take for granted. John chapter 10 verse 15. John chapter 10 verse 15 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. How? Just as the Father knows me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for my sheep. That is him. The Father knows him, and he knows the Father. That is the unique knowledge that they have. The unique knowledge that we do not have. It is unique. That's why for us we get a revelation. He keeps revealing us to us bit by bit, bit by bit. Because you see, if you were to know God through and through, your mind would explode. Your mind and my mind are too small to accommodate God. I repeat that. Your mind and my mind are too small to accommodate God. So he reveals to us bit by bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. The Bible says, but it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, no the heart of man imagined. That's what God has prepared for those who love him. But then he says that these things God has done what? Revealed to us through the Spirit. Now he brings in the third person of God. The Spirit, capital S. He has revealed them to us through the Spirit. Remember, he said, I will not leave you orphaned. I will send you a helper. Who will do what? Who will teach you all things? In other words, who will reveal to you all things? He continues to say, for the Spirit, capital S, searches everything. The Spirit, the Godhead, the third Godhead, member of the Trinity. He searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, he asks, which is in him. So he says, so also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. No one comprehends, understands fully the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So now let us look at that nature, the nature of God's knowledge. What is that knowledge? What is that knowledge? What's that epignosis? What's that knowledge? As we said, God's knowledge originates within himself. It originates within himself. He does not need any other source of knowledge. You and I, however, need him as our source of knowledge. And the knowledge I'm talking about, like we discussed earlier, is not this knowledge that is given from human flesh, as Paul says, but rather by the Spirit of God. Isaiah 40, verse 13 to 14, speaks about God's knowledge that is within him. He asks, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Who has got a container big enough to measure the Spirit of God? What standard measure is there that you can use to measure the Spirit of God? He says, oh, what man shows him counsel? Which man can sit and say, God, I'm giving you advice. This man, you have got to give him that. The other one, you have... Nobody. He asks, whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Whom did he consult? Who taught him the path of justice? And taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. Who? No one. He himself is the knowledge. He is the knowledge. Job 21, verse 22. Job is replying to his friend Zophar, who has been thinking that that Job is going through what he's going through because he is wicked. Do you know that there are people who think you're going through what you're going through because you're wicked? Or because God is punishing you or whatever? Job replies to this guy and says, will any teach God knowledge? Seeing that he judges those who are on high, will any person teach God knowledge? No one can teach God knowledge. He chooses to do what he wants to do. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 44. You need to have a pen and paper, my friend, because you're going to be writing many scriptures. But as I promise most of you, I'll put these notes on the website anyway, so you can find them later. If you need to go back and delve into these scriptures. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 34. It says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How unsearchable are his judgments. And how inscrutable his ways. Why? For who has known the mind of God, or who has been his counselor? No one. He is his own counselor. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea. This is Paul writing the Colossians. And he says, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach to the fullness of the assurance, to the riches of full assurance, understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. God's mystery is Christ. God's knowledge is Christ, in whom, he says, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. My God, that is our God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 139, verse 6, and says, David says, you know, you have searched me, O God, and you know me. When I sit down and when I rise up, he knows you. He says, you discern my thoughts even from afar. This is how God, before, from afar, he discerns your thoughts. He says, you know all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, you know it altogether. Wow. You lay your hand upon me, he says. But then in verse 6, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God's knowledge. That is the nature of God's knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? You cannot instruct him. But listen, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. You, child of God, you have got a mind of Christ, the mind of Christ, the mind to begin to know and understand what is in the heart of God. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for Christ. Another attribute of God's wisdom, of God's knowledge, is that his knowledge is complete. His knowledge is complete. He knows all things. He knows it all. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, he says, but even the hairs of your hair are all numbered. Even those hairs that on your head, they are all numbered. Now, this is how I comprehend this. This is how I comprehend this. Not only does he know how many hairs are on your head, but he has also given every, you know, hair, he has given it a number. He knows this is number one, that is number two. If you pull out something, so that's number three that has been pulled out. Okay, if you pull out, somebody pulls out, and he knows that was number 300 that has been pulled out. He knows. That is, if he knows the number of your hairs on your head, what about the issue that is staring you in the face? You think that God does not know it? You think he does not know that sickness that is, you know, is has been torturing you? He knows all things. He knows. That's why you need to be rest assured and trust in him that he knows. He knows your name. He knows the tears you cry. He knows the numbers on your head. Look, he says in Psalm 147, verse 4, he determines the number of the stars. My paternal grandfather, when we were growing up, he used to like to name the stars. who would walk, go outside the house in the dark and begin to look at the stars. He had he had names for different stars, you know. But this is my grandfather just trying to do that with his natural eyes. But even the guys who have got all these machines that can look at these stars, they cannot number them. But our God, your God, numbers them. And not only does he number them, he gives them names. He names them. Hallelujah. That is the God that you serve. That is the God in whom you believe. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, as he comforts Israel after its captivity, this is what God says. He says, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like him? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes, he says. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? Who created these things? Who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name? By the greatness of his might, he calls them. And because he is strong, the Bible says, he's strong in power, not one is missing. Because he is strong in power, not one is missing. That is the God that you serve. He calls by name. He calls by name all the hosts, all the things that he has created in the universe. Things that you are going to leave this world without ever seeing. Things that I will leave this world without ever seeing. He knows them. There are things that I do not know, that I do not know, that exist. And what about the things that I know that exist? You think God does not know about them? He knows about them. He knows. He knows you. God knows you. Another attribute of God's knowledge, he knows the things that are hidden from human understanding. He knows the things that are hidden from human understanding. Like right now in the situation which we are in, men are scratching their heads. Human beings are scratching their heads. But he knows what we do not know. There is something that God knows about you that you do not know. That's why you need to trust him. He knows. He sees. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, he says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are secret things that belong to the Lord our God. But he says that the things that are revealed belong to us. You understand? There are things that everything that God reveals to you is yours. Own it. Take it. Run with it. It belongs to you. It belongs to us and to our children forever. That's what he says. That we may do all the words of his law. You understand? Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, he says, he reveals, God reveals deep and hidden things. Even this evening, he's revealing stuff. As I speak, God is speaking to most of us right now. He's revealing stuff to you. Things that I have not even spoken. But because of his spirit, he's revealing them to you. There's a light that is turning on in a certain dark area. So he knows what is in the darkness. That's what he says in Daniel chapter 2. He knows what is in the darkness, in that area that is dark in your life. He knows what is there. That area that you can't see your left from the right. He knows what's there. And the light dwells with him. He knows. God knows. Listen. Even those hidden he knows even those hidden things from the sun and the angels. There are some things that are hidden even from the sun, by the way. Now we take it to another level. There are things that are hidden from Jesus and the angels. How do I know? Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Jesus Christ said it himself, the Son, about the end of the world. He says, but concerning that day and hour, he says, no one knows. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word, the second person of the Godhead. He is saying that there are some things that he does not know, even him. Mm-hmm. He says, no one knows, not even what? The angels of heaven. And then he goes further. He says, nor the Son, but the Father only. My God. Are you not glad that you have got a God who is that powerful? He knows. The same applies to times and seasons.
He knows your season. He knows which season is going to blossom in your life. He knows the seasons. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6, after his resurrection, the disciples begin to ask him, so now you have come, yeah? You have come back. They ask him, so are you here to restore the kingdom to Israel? Because for them, they were thinking in the flesh. And he said to them, in verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. It is not your place to know that. Rather, he says, he will receive power to do what he wants you to do. Hallelujah. God knows. God has a plan for you. Listen, God's comprehensive knowledge of his people is God's knowledge of his people's actions. He has comprehensive knowledge of his people. He has a comprehensive knowledge of you. Comprehensive. He's not guessing. He knows. Job 31, verse 4, the Bible says, Does not he see my ways and number all my steps? He sees all your ways and he numbers all your steps. He continued to say in Job 34, verse 21, for his eyes are on the ways of a man and he sees all his steps. Child of God, he sees all your steps. Every step that you take, he sees. He is there. It may seem like he's not there, but he is there. I can guarantee you God is wherever you are. Every step that you take, he already knows. Psalm 33, verse 13 to 15. The Bible says, the Lord looks down from heaven. He looks down from heaven. And he sees all the children of men. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. I mean all. All. That includes you. That includes me. And he is he who fashions the hearts of them all. He observes all our deeds. He's the one who has fashioned our hearts. Every deed of yours and mine does not escape him. He sees that. So that's why we need to be very careful the way we live our lives. Because like somebody said, speaking about Moses killing this Egyptian, the Bible says that he looked to the left and he looked to the right and nobody was seeing him. But he forgot to look up because God was seeing every deed. Jeremiah 23, verse 24, the Bible says, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? No one can hide. There's no secret place on earth that the Lord cannot see. That's what he declares. He says, do I not fill the heaven and the earth, declares the Lord. There is nothing that you can hide from him. There is nothing that I can hide from him. Now we take it further. All that knowledge shows me that he knows your needs. He knows your needs. I know that there are people on this line who have got needs. Unless you are not breathing. If you are breathing, you have a need. You have a need. And this evening, that God who created the heavens and the earth, that God who sees all, that God who knows all, he knows your need. That's why he teaches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. That's what that Jesus was teaching about prayer. And this is what he says. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles. You know, at times we think because of the length of our time or the many words that we speak, you know, maybe that's why it's going to touch God. I'm not saying that you don't pray for long because I'm an advocate of people who stay in the Lord longer, praying longer. But he says, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And that's what Jesus taught teaching. He says, do not be like them. In other words, when you are praying, do not pray just empty phrases. No. Pray the word to him. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. He knows your need even before you ask, but he still wants you to ask. He still wants you to ask. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 32, he's teaching us not to worry. And he says, therefore, do not be anxious. Is anybody anxious this evening? Don't be. Don't be anxious. The spirit of anxiety, we destroy it in Jesus' mighty name. He says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Right now, in this season, that is what is going on people's minds right now because of the situation, and understandably so. But I have come to tell you that your God knows those needs. He knows, and because he knows, he's going to take care of them. He will take care of them. He says, and do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He says, for the Gentiles out there, they seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. Rather, he says, instead, seek his kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verse 19 to 30. Seek his kingdom instead. As you seek his kingdom, he will give you all these other things. Do not seek what to eat or what you are to drink, he says. Or no, be worried. Oh my God, somebody this evening, you have got to resign from that portfolio of worry. You are wasting your time worrying because worry is not going to change anything. You are doing what? Wasting valuable energy on worry. You are going to worry and worry yourself to bed, and you wake up in the morning and that issue will still be staring at you. So why did you waste your time even worrying about it? It says, do not worry. Why? For all the nations of the world seek after these things. That's what he says. And that your Father knows that you need them. Instead, he says, seek his kingdom, and then these things will be added unto you. That is his word. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to learn to take Jesus Christ at his word. You understand? Listen, we go before him and say, Lord, I am seeking your kingdom. That's what you said. I seek your kingdom and your righteousness. I want your kingdom. I want to know you better. But you say that if I seek your kingdom, all these other things will be added unto me. Father, let them be added unto me. He knows your needs. He knows your needs. Not only does he know your needs, he also knows your heart and he knows your mind. He has knowledge of that. Right now, he knows the thoughts that you are thinking right now. He knows your hearts and he knows your mind. But we need to put our mind to him. This is what David charges his son, Solomon, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. He says, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with all your heart. And with a willing mind, serve him with all your heart and a willing mind. God wants people who are serving him with a willing mind, not a mind that is being pushed, not a mind that is being begged, but a willing mind. Why? For he searches all hearts and understands every plan and every thought. He knows your thoughts. He knows your plans. He understands them. If they are for him or against him, if they are genuine or fake, he knows. He says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off. That is our God. But this evening, we choose to seek him. We choose to seek him. When scripture talks about the heart, it's not just only talking about the seat of emotions, but it's also talking about the seat of your will. Give him your will. That's what he says. Psalm 44, verse 20, says, if we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would God discover this, you think? Of course he will. Whenever we walk away from him and say and go to other foreign gods, he knows. And then we come and sing, no foreign God, no foreign God can take your place. You know, we sing it by lips, but in the, you know, with just a lip service. But yet our hearts have already gone to a foreign world. He knows that. Why? For he knows the secrets of the heart. This evening, may you bring your heart back to him in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jeremiah 17:10, he says, I the Lord, searcheth the heart and testeth the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deed. He gives us according to the riches, to the fruits of our deeds. Shall we return to him, the Lord of gods, the Lord of lords rather, the God of gods, with our hearts, with our will, willingly, not when things are chasing us, no, willingly. Because when we sin, he knows. When we go for foreign gods, we have sinned. When we refuse to trust in him and trust in other things or doubt him, we have sinned. Jeremiah 16:17 says, for my eyes are on all their ways. His eyes are on all our ways. They are not hidden from me, he says. Nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. But first I will doubly repay their iniquity and their sin because they have polluted my land with the carcasses of the detestable gods. This was talking about the children of Israel. But whenever we run away from him, it's an abomination. Whenever we doubt him, it's an abomination. When we doubt him, if you do not know God, you will doubt him and you will go to a foreign God. But we thank God that even in our sin, he still loves us. And he planned, he made a plan for that. That he knew that you and I are weak. That's why he had the foreknowledge. Not only does God know our position, know our stuff, know what's going in our lives. He also had the foreknowledge. Even before the foundation of the earth, he had the foreknowledge that we will need a deliverer. He put a way for us. God has put a way for you. If he put a way for our sins before the foundation of the earth, I can guarantee you there is a way out for that issue that is before you. There is a way out. He will create a way for you. God knew that Jesus Christ would die for us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, Peter is preaching a serious sermon after the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And he says, this Jesus delivered up and according to the definite plan and knowledge and foreknowledge of God. He says, Jesus Christ was done what? He was delivered up according to a definite plan and foreknowledge of God. So these guys who were nailing Jesus Christ to the cross, they thought they were doing it then. No, God had done it even before they were born. They were just fulfilling what he had already done. He was making a way for you and me. God has made a way for you and me. That when we mess, we can go back to him and he will forgive us. Acts chapter 3 verse 18. As long as we repent. Acts chapter 3 verse 18. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that his Jesus would suffer, he thus fulfilled. When he spoke about Jesus Christ through the prophets, he fulfilled it. How? By giving him, delivering him to the cross. And then Paul says, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Repent and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That you may that he may send the Christ appointed for you. Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the things about God spoken by the mouth of his holy long prophets are proclaimed. That is why he prepared for salvation of man even before he dug the foundations of the earth. Do you know how precious your soul is to him? He prepared for your soul even before you happened to be on earth. And I can guarantee you that he also made a plan for you to for escape from the issues that are at hand right now in your life. He has got it. He has already sorted it out because he is omniscient. He's an all-knowing God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. He says, for you know that it is not with the perishable things such as silver and gold that we are redeemed from the empty way of life. We are not redeemed by, you know, perishable stuff. But with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish which he chose before the creation of the world, which was revealed in these, but has been revealed in these last times, in these last, you know, days. It, Jesus Christ, God chose his son before the foundations of the earth to do what? To die for us. If he sorted my eternity before the foundation of the earth, what about the things that I see today, the physical ones that are passing by? Do you understand that, child of God? If he sorted your eternity, if he sorted, you know, he made a way for your soul to be redeemed, because he's the creator and redeemer. You think the one who redeemed, so in fact, he says that do not be scared about the one who can only destroy the body. Be scared about the one who can destroy both soul and mind, and body rather, in hell. If he can rescue your soul, what about the issues at hand? They're nothing. They're nothing. Because you know what? He sorted these things before the foundations of the earth. That's when the Lamb of God was slain, before the creation, before the world was created. As we come to a conclusion, I want you to thank God because he foreknew you. God foreknew you and he prepared for you. God knew that you would be his disciple. God knew that you would be born again, because there are many who grew up with you, but they are not born again. There are many who have died, but you are still here. How do I know? Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he foreknew. For those whom he foreknew, he has also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You understand? You are not here just by accident. He foreknew you. He ordained you. He foreknew you that you may be conformed to that image of his son, in order that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. And the Bible says, and those whom he predestined, this is what he did. He also called. You are called. You are a called person. You are called of God. You are not just here accidentally. Let me tell you, these things that are tossing you up and down just came yesterday. You are called. And he says, to those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. You are glorified. You will see it. You will see it. Because that's what he says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I ordained you. I appointed you a prophet to many nations, he said. He knew you. Thank God he foreknew you. God did not reject you. There are many who are not called. There are many who are not even chosen. But you are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of the Father in heaven, in the sanctification of his Spirit, so that you may obey Christ by the sprinkling of his blood. You are foreordained. And that's why I am praying that his grace and peace may be multiplied upon you in the name of Jesus. That God, the creator of heavens and earth, he knew you. He foreknew you. He knew that you would be in this city called London. You know, some of you were born here, but some of us, you know, we know where we're coming from. Being here in and of itself should be a miracle. You should think about that. How are you here? Do you have an uncle here? Do you have an aunt here? How did you get to these shores? The one who got you to these shores, my friend, he knew that this is the place where he will prosper you. This is the place where he will heal you. This is the place where he will take you to another level. This is the place. He knows all. You are not here accidentally. That's why you're not in Canada. That's why you're not in Germany. That's why you're not in Peru. You are in the UK. And when the time for the UK ends, he can choose to take you to another place before he takes you home. He knows everything. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, he knows. He has knowledge of you. That is his nature. And he's doing something this very evening. Close those eyes where you are right now. In the name of Jesus. You don't know what to do with that situation. Give it to him. He knows about it. Just relax about it. Don't overthink it, because you will waste your time. You will lose appetite for nothing. You will lose flesh. You will lose weight. And it will still be there. And he's saying, why don't you hand it to me? Come to me, he says, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is he saying? He said, know me, that I am able to carry that which you are carrying. Give it to me that I may carry it. Why do you keep carrying it? The reason we keep carrying it is because we don't know him. But if you know him this evening, I am praying that you hand it over right now. Hand it over right now. Is it your children? Hand them over right now. Is it your spouse? Hand him or her to him. Is it a job or business, whatever it is? Hand it over to him. Are those bills that are flying in through the door? Hand them to him. Hezekiah received a letter from the Sennacherib threatening his life. You know what he did? Straight away, he took the letter to the right addressee. He took it in the temple and said, Lord, this landed at my address, but I don't think it was addressed to me. It is yours. He gave it to him. Give it to him, because he knows and he cares. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your children, Lord. I thank you for you knew them. You foreknew them. You foreknew them. You knew that they would be born in that family. You knew that they would be born from that womb. You knew and ordained their paths, my Father, Lord. You ordained their paths. And look, my Father, look at those secondary schools that you took them to, my God. Look at that, the places that you, look at the people that you made them meet, my Father, God, King of Kings, and see how they came to this country, Lord. Today, some of them here, as we speak, they are British. They are British. How are you British? They are British, my Father. They were born in Karamoja, somewhere born in Buganda, somewhere born in Zambia, but they are British today. Father God, if you have made that possible, what about the things that are still at stake? You are more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we ask or think. Come through for them. May that enter their minds, my Father, Lord. May they know you, the only true God. May they know your abilities. May they know your power. May they know the extent to which you are able to go and willing to go to deliver them. Listen, God went to the very extent to deliver you by sending himself, his only begotten son, to deliver you from death. That is the, nobody has ever done that. What about the issue that is at hand right now? It is nothing before him. Give it to him, and he will sort it out for you. I pray that he will reveal himself to you this night in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. That he will reveal himself to you regarding that situation in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Father, I pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. Visit them in their dream. Visit them on the buses. Visit them on the trains. Visit them and show them that you are God all by yourself. You are Yahweh. You are the I am who you are. I am who I am. He is Yahweh. And he will sort it out for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. Just believe in him. Just believe, just believe, just believe. Mandere, brosika, rabrande. I speak that heart right now that has been so sunken, so deep that you could not even eat. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Go and wash your face. Go and get something to eat. Get up, just hand them over to him and rest in your heart, because your God is at work. Your God is at work. I rest my case for this evening. Father, thank you for congregating us tonight. Thank you that King of Kings, as you said in Deuteronomy chapter 29, that the secret things are yours, but there are things that you reveal to us. May you reveal to us that which you want us to know, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Father, I pray a blessing upon your children. I pray protection upon your children, that they will not, none of us shall lose our minds, my Father, Lord, over things that are passing. We will believe in you because you are the God in whom we live, in whom we move, and in whom we have our being. Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And once all is said and done, we'll continue to worship you, to serve you. Even though you do not come, King of Kings, we'll continue to worship you, just like the three Hebrew boys said. We will love you, Lord. Even though you do not come at the time that we want you to come, we will love you, we will serve you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, increase our knowledge of you. Give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And somebody shouts, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time,